Please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18, only three verses. The message this morning is taken from verse 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, 17, and 18. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. May God bless us in the reading of His most holy and sacred word. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, the Creator of heaven and earth, God Almighty, we bow humbly before Thy holy presence on another Lord's Day morning, acknowledging, O Lord, that it is by Thy sovereign appointment in our lives that Thou hast gathered each and every one of us here into Thy house. For we are not here by accident nor by chance, but by Thy holy will. Help us therefore, O Lord, as we approach Thy holy presence, to know that it is only in and through the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Thy only begotten Son, that we can approach Thee accepted. Not on our own merits, not because of what we have done, but only by Thy grace and Thy mercies that we are not consumed, that we have brought before Thee our morning praises, thanksgiving. And we ask once again this morning, O Lord, that even as we bring before Thee our petitions, may Thou be pleased to incline Thy ears, to hear our cry for Jesus' sake. We pray, Father, for those who are in beds of affliction. May Thou be very gracious and merciful to sustain them, and keep them, O Lord, in the most holy faith, to know that even when this outward body of ours will perish, but the inward man may be renewed day by day. And as we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, may we be strengthened in the inner man. Encourage all Thy children, O Lord, to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And Thou, who hast begun a good work in us, will accomplish it and bring it to fruition and completion on the day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns in power and in glory. To this end, O Lord, may Thou keep all those in beds of affliction, in health and in strength, and that their witness and their testimony will always bring glory and honor to Thy holy name. We pray, Father, for Thy mercies to be upon our loved ones who are sick and are still outside Your kingdom. May Thou be pleased to use Your children, O Lord, to bring a word of comfort, that they may, through their illness, come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, for the children who have been dismissed for their own assembly. Be very close to them, O Lord, and grant to each and every one of them attentive ears and receptive hearts, that the word of God will take root and bear much fruit in their young lives, that when they grow up, they will not depart from the faith. Bless the teachers with understanding to make difficult doctrines plain and simple and easy, that the children may understand. We thank Thee, Lord, for every one of them, for their labor of love in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, for those who are on vacation, on travel. May Thou be very gracious to protect and to watch over them, and bring them all safely back. Remember especially Thy servant, Dr. Jeffrey Koo, as he is in BCA, Kenya and Tanzania, to minister Thy word to the brethren there. May Thou protect him and watch over him in all his going out and his coming in, and grant to him the words and the filling of Thy Holy Spirit, that he may proclaim Thy word boldly and clearly, and that the word of God will not return unto Thee void, but accomplish all that Thou hast purposed it for the blessing of Thy people and for the conviction of sin and conversion of souls. And may Thou bring him safely back upon the completion of his mission trip. We pray, Father, for the ministries of the word in this church. We thank Thee, Lord, for Your mercies upon the adult Sunday school class that will resume on next Lord's Day. We pray, Father, that Thy people will have a thirst and hunger for Thy truth, that the word of God will always be the milk and the meat to their spiritual soul, and cause them, O Lord, to know that in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is always in love and in truth. I pray, Father, for Your mercies to be upon the fellowship meetings this coming Saturday. May Thou be merciful to bring Thy people to come with hearts prepared to meet with Thee. As they consider the topic on praying with hope, may Thou be with me, O Lord, as I bring forth Thy holy word, that the word of God may touch and encourage the hearts of Thy people to be prayerful, and to know that in the Lord Jesus Christ, Thou will always hear the cry of Your children. We pray, Father, for the combined youth conference, that Thou will be gracious to bless all the young people as they gather to have a blessed time of fellowship with one another and in a study of Thy holy word. Be with all the speakers, that we may not prepare, leaning on our own strength and wisdom, but only upon Thy Holy Spirit, to guide us, to teach us, that the word of God may be taught to these young people. We thank Thee, Father, also for Your mercies in preserving the Far Eastern Bible College. And as the day of the trial draws nigh, may Thou be with the board of directors, that the fear of God will be in their hearts, that we may be sensitive to the leading and guidance of Thy Holy Spirit, that all things said and done and written may only and always glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and will always be in truth and in righteousness. Grant to our lawyers much strength and wisdom as they oversee the case. And we pray also, Lord, for the judge, that he will be righteous, he will be fair. And we pray, O Lord, that Thou will be gracious to confound the counsel of the evil one, that the college may be defended against the many attacks of Satan and his minions, that the college may through this find a permanent home, where the word of God may be faithfully taught for the training of men and women all over the world for the ministries which Thou hast prepared for each and every one of them. O Lord, bless and protect Thy college, for it is Your college which Thou hast founded all these many 40 over years. O Lord, may Thou be merciful, for this is the school of prophets for the training of Thy servants in these last days. May Thou be merciful to hear our cry and help us to know that it is Your battle, and therefore it will always be Your victory, and all glory and honor will be unto Thy holy name. Bless us, O Lord, as we open Thy sacred pages once again this morning. May Thy Holy Spirit be our teacher, to illumine our hearts and our minds, that we may behold wonderful truths out of Thy holy book. And may Thou be pleased, O Lord, to cleanse the lips and heart of Thy unworthy servant for the proclamation of Thy inerrant, infallible, divinely inspired and preserved word of everlasting life. For we ask all these things with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Warm greetings to all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Practically every religion will teach their disciples to pray. Praying to a being whom they considered as superior, as more powerful than them. And that's why they pray. Crying to them for intervention because they need their help. But we're not talking about other religion. We're talking about Christianity. We're talking about the scripture where the Bible tells us there is only one living and true God. These who belong to other religions, they cry to their gods with eyes that can't see, with ears that can't hear, with mouth that can't speak, and definitely hands that can't help, and feet that will not go to their aid in time of need. But we know that in the scriptures we pray to the one living and true God whose eyes are always beholding His children. That nothing happens to us without His permission. Even the hairs on our head are known to Him, are numbered by Him. Whose hands are never too short that He will not come to our aid to help us. He will never be too late that we may be crushed under the load of persecution and the trials of life. And He will never be too early that we may miss and not see that it is by His hand that we have been saved and delivered from our trial and testings in life. We have a God whose ears are always inclined to hear the cry of His children. For He never slumbers, neither will He sleep. No matter where we are, at any time of the day, He never grows tired. He's always there for us. And so therefore, whenever we touch upon prayer, you realize that this is one of the greatest gifts that God has bestowed upon His children. And He told us in Hebrews to come boldly into His holy presence. To come. Why don't we come? Why is it that we struggle with prayer? We struggle when we are told to please come for a midweek prayer meeting. Why is it necessary to have a midweek prayer meeting? Why can't we just simply go to church on Sunday and forget about prayer meeting? Nobody seems to be interested. We just have maybe something more appealing. Let's change midweek prayer meeting. Maybe the session in True Life may consider and start a new trend. Why don't we have a regular midweek barbecue? You like that? I think it's pretty good, isn't it? We all like barbecues. Especially when the host pays for everything. We just come and we just eat, because barbecue can be very involved. A lot of preparation, the meat and all that. But barbecue, no problem. We all can come. We can also come maybe a midweek fellowship games. Just come and play games. We all have no problem. Anything and everything that pertains to the flesh, to the five senses, we have no problem, no struggle. We may even put it as one of our highest priorities. We may even change our timetable and our schedule just to accommodate such activities. But when it comes to prayer meeting, we can't help but immediately come up with excuses and why I can't make it. With other activities, because it is right up on our list of priorities, we'll try our utmost to make sure that I make it. Rain or shine, I will be there, trust me. But prayer meeting, nah, not interested. How many people attend prayer meeting on the Lord, during the midweek prayer meeting? How many? 10, 20, 30, 40, 50? How many percent? 10%? 15%? 20 people or 20%? 20%. Very good. That's a very high percentage. On an average, most churches, English congregation churches, hovers around 10% at best. At best. When I was in Calvary Jaya, one of the elders was also struggling with the same concern. And so the elder asked me, Rebecca, how do we solve the problem of midweek prayer meeting? I said, very easy. He was stunned. Very easy. How come I don't know the answer? I said, very easy. From now onwards, at the beginning of this year, you just tell the whole congregation. Anyone, everyone, no need to be member, any congregation, visitor or member, young and old, if you can attend prayer meeting throughout the whole week, the church will give all of you 5,000 ringgit. Problem solved, I said. Instantaneously. Some from Pandan may fly over to do it. Problem solved. You will like that? And so we all will come. For what? The 5,000 ringgit. Do you want numbers? You know that prayer cannot be bought. Prayer cannot be legislated. Such as in some churches, if you don't come for a prayer, corporate prayer meeting, absent more than three times without a legitimate reason, such as you're out of town or you're sick in bed or in hospital with a medical cert, three times you will be excommunicated. You want that? Force, legislate, make it part and parcel of membership in this church. You want to be a member in this church? You must attend prayer meeting. And if you all say you're out of town, you must show your passport to the pastor, to the elders in charge. Do you like that? Some churches do that, and so they will have very high percentage, nearly 100% midweek prayer meeting attendance. The heart is not there. Prayer is just simply talking to God. And it is more than just talking to God, isn't it? Prayer is basically children talking to Father. In this case, it is Heavenly Father. And therefore, it's a very strange thing when children don't like to talk to Father. I mean, in our earthly relationship, we can understand, because very often Father makes mistakes. Father, sometimes out of pressures of work, they come home and they lose their cool, they lose their temper, and then sometimes they take it out on the people closest to them, and that would include their children as well. And so children, they try to avoid their parents if they see their father in a very foul mood. And sometimes parents or fathers are bad fathers, and so children avoid their fathers. They don't want to be near them. But God is perfect. God is ever compassionate. God will always be there for us, and He makes no mistakes. He's so loving, He's so gentle, especially toward His children. And when His children are naughty and disobedient and in sin, He loves them, and that's why He will use the rod of correction to chastise them and to draw them back, and it will still be for their good. And yet we find it so hard to go to Father. Why is that so? It can't be His fault. In our earthly relationship, you might have a case. You don't want to go to your father, you will have a case because he is a bad father. Perhaps that might be legitimate. But with a heavenly father, it can never be his fault, can it? Do you blame him? Do you fault him? And that's why you don't want to worship him, you don't want to go to him, you don't want to pray to him. There are many instances in the Bible that talks about hindrances to prayer. This is not the passage. There are other instances in the Bible that taught us how to pray, like when Jesus taught the disciples how to pray in the Lord's Prayer. This is not the passage for that. This passage teaches us one truth about prayer, and that is the frequency. That's it. The frequency of prayer, nothing else. And because the word pray is in the imperative, it is a command. And so this frequency of prayer is not an option, it is a command. And God says, pray continuously, command, not up to us to choose. And you think it is because heaven is very quiet, God is very lonely up in heaven? You think that's why? Because God wants to hear your sweet, beautiful voice? You think our voices are so, so beautiful that God wants to hear your voices? Very lonely, you see God in heaven, very quiet up in heaven. Do you know that the heaven is never, never silent? The angelic beings are always there praising the Lord. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Praises will always reverberate in the heavenly realms. Non-stop. Oh, there will be one moment in time. The Bible tells us in Revelation that it will be completely silent for 30 minutes. And that was the calm before the storm. Just before God unleashed His wrath, known as the seven trumpet judgments. 30 minutes of silence in heaven, and then after that God will blow His trumpet, and then the angels will come and pour down His wrath on the earth. Other than that brief moment, the heaven is always full of His praises and glory. It is not because God wants to hear your voice. Pray without ceasing is for our benefit, not for God's benefit. It's always for His benefit. He did not say, study the Bible without ceasing. Although studying the Bible is very important, He knows that it's not possible because we have to go out to work and keep body and soul together. There are many, many things that we are to do. But seldom did God demand something from His children that God wants us to do forever, non-stop, without ceasing, all the time. The moment that you are awake, you start. Right up to the time when you lay down to sleep. And even just before you doze off, you continue to pray. Some people make fun of, you know, sometimes when I pray at night, I wake up the next morning and then I say my Amen. Right? But it's a good thing, don't you think so? But of course, you don't pray only that time. But you pray continuously and you wake up, you Amen, and the moment you wake up, you start praying again. And then you pray yourself right down to sleep. And then when you wake up, Amen, then you start praying again. That's exactly what it means, pray without ceasing. All the time. All the time. You mean I have to mumble, mumble, open my mouth and talk everywhere I go? Didn't say that, right? Didn't say mumble, mumble, right? You mumble, mumble everywhere you go. People will send you to a place you don't want to go. Is that not true? You mumble, mumble in the bus stop, people will look at you. You walk into the, get into the bus and you continue to mumble, mumble. People don't want to sit next to you. People look at you and stare at you and think something is wrong with this fella. It didn't say mumbo mumbo. You didn't have to be audible. Communing with God doesn't have to be audible all the time. In corporate prayer, yes. But when you are communing with God, when you are walking with God all the time, you speak to Him, you ask Him, you talk to Him. You commune without ceasing. That means you basically talk to Him. There is no barrier. Do you know what is the barrier that will come between you and God? Where your prayers will not be heard by God? Oh, the relationship cannot be cut off, because once saved, always saved, in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 66 verse 18, one hindrance to prayer. Regard iniquity. Do you know why people do not want to pray without ceasing? Because they love sin. They know they are ashamed. They know that they cannot approach God because of sin. Sin can come in many shapes, many forms, many sizes. Willful living. I want my ambitions to be fulfilled. I don't want to ask God, because if I ask God, I may not get what I want. Life of disobedience is the greatest hindrance to this verse. We don't want to pray without sin because we love willful disobedience too much. I want to do my own thing. That's what young people do too, isn't it? If the father is not at fault, and young people don't want to talk to the father, they want to hide from father, they want to lie to father, they say they are going to this place, but in fact they're going to the movies or some other place. They say they're going to the library to study, but actually only went there to step in there for 5 minutes, study, open the book, close it, and then they scoot off to somewhere else. And then come home, giving the parent the impression that they have been spending the 2 or 3 hours in the library, when in fact 5 minutes in the library, the rest of the time somewhere else. And then when they look at their father, they know in their heart of hearts they have deceived father. And you think they can have an honest discussion, an open heart talk with father, when they have been carrying this burden of deception for so long in their life that it have become a habit. And that's our problem, isn't it? Become a habit. And that's why this is pray without ceasing. Now, I like my own life to be led my way. I don't want to commune with God, because to commune with Him all the time, even before I pick up the phone to talk to a business contact, I must pray a silent prayer. You mean I have to pray before I go to the hospital to talk to someone, to encourage someone? You mean I have to pray before I drive? You mean I have to pray all the time when I go out and when I come in? Yes. Yes. Because God knows how weak we are. God knows that once we are born again, we are no more people that are dead in sin. We are now made alive in Christ. That means we are spiritual people. And as spiritual people, the world that we are living in right now, which is carnal, which is owned by the prince of this world, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You're not wrestling with flesh and blood when you pick up the phone to call the business contact, whatever it is. It is a spiritual exercise. When you go to the hospital to counsel, to encourage someone, it is not flesh and blood. You're not just talking to the person. It is a spiritual exercise. Because now you are a spiritual person. You are born again. And you think that by your own willpower, by your own mind and experience, and by your education, you can wrestle against the evil one? Because now you bear the name of Christ. You're walking on a very tight rope. And Satan will love to see you fall, to see the Christian fall. And that's why he will always be a roaring lion, waiting to see whom he can devour and pounce. And when we avoid communing with God, the opposite is, we commune with friends, we communicate with the computer, we communicate with ourselves, our own mind. We don't want to talk to God. When I'm stuck and when everything else fails, then maybe God is like our emergency exit somewhere, a small little door that we put in our lives. But He is not my main entrance. Where everything I do, big or small, I will always ask Him first. Time and time again, you can find in the lives of God's servants, when they prayed with God, when they prayed to God, before they did it, it is always right. when they took matters in their own hands, when they realized that, oh, by sight, by hearing, by testimony, by experience, this must be the answer, this must be the solution. They didn't pray, and they end up in hot soup. Big trouble. Remember Joshua and the Gibeonites? The Gibeonites deceived Joshua and the leaders after their mighty conquest. The Gibeonites panic. They thought, we have to deceive Joshua and the leaders in order to save our lives. They pretended to come from a very distant land. But how to prove to them that we came from a distant land? Old moldy bread, dressed in very old torn and tattered garments and sandals. Old wine bottles. This must be good enough as evidence, because all these things will take time for it to deteriorate to this kind of state and condition. And they were very careful with their words. They had just destroyed Jericho and Ai. If we had come from a long, long distance, then they would not have heard of Jericho and Ai that will propel them to leave their long distant homes to come and consult and beg Joshua to make a treaty with them, a peace treaty. They were very careful with their choice of words. They said that we heard of your victory against the king Sihon and Og in Transjordan site, where the 2.5 tribes dwelt in. That was some time ago. And because of what we heard of your travel out of Egypt into this part of the world, and because of these conquests, we now come before you to make peace with you. Joshua did not pray. Evidence was good enough. Who are you? Oh, we are this people. We came from afar. Look at the evidence. They looked at the evidence and they threw, it must be true. Look at the moldy bread. Look at the torn and tattered garments. Look at the torn and tattered sandals. Look at the old wine bottle. It was brand new, they were told. And then a few days later, they found that they had been tricked and deceived. Because they did not pray, because they made the treaty in the name of the Lord, who was at fault. Not the Gibeonites, they were partially at fault, but God would have told Joshua and the elders that these were deceivers if they had prayed to God. But they did not. Evidence was good enough. Like us today. My five senses lead and guide my spiritual life. Not God, not prayer. I don't need Him. I can manage myself. That's another reason why we don't pray, isn't it? We fail to realize that we are wrestling not against flesh and blood, but principalities. Without God's help, we will all be crushed. We will crumble. It is a spiritual warfare. The moment you wake up, your life in school, your life in your workplace, your life at home as a housewife, it is a spiritual warfare. You pray as you iron, that you may have the joy of the Lord to do something that is so, in inverted commas, mundane and repetitive. That the joy of the Lord will propel you and to keep you going. You go to school, you more than just study. You pray. It is a spiritual warfare. How you can be a godly student, that when they look at the way you study, it is not just getting straight A's that they should marvel at, but that you are a God-dependent student. That you pray before you study. You thank God after you study. You continue to pray even as you study. That God will give you the concentration. That God will give you the understanding. And when you take your tests, your exams, God will be the one who you pray to help you recall and remember what you have learned. And then at the end of it, whatever the outcome, whatever the result, whether it is A or F, it does not matter. You have already passed the test. You have leaned on Christ. You did not lean on self. And you know God will take care of the outcome, and God knows what is best, and He will give to you what He knows is best for us. And sometimes what is best for us is not what we want, it's what He wants for my life. And that's why pray. Imperative. Present tense, continuously, without ceasing, all the time. Because if we don't, we are going to be crushed. We are going to fall into the deception of the evil one, and we don't even know it, because that's why it's called deception. He can make us live the life of sin and deception and making us think that we are walking in the way of truth and righteousness. That's how cunning, that's the wiles of the devil. That's how evil and clever he is. And you think you are smarter than him because you have a string of doctorates? All these, you just simply laugh it off. Because you have a big IQ, because you have tons of money, because you have so many, many connections, you know all the important people, you have lots of experience, you think all these things will cut it against Satan and his demons? You must be kidding. He is in the spiritual realm. We are in the three-dimensional realm. Atomic warfare, atomic bomb is nothing to him. It won't even tickle him. It won't even scratch him. That's why God says, please, my children, pray without ceasing. This book is in the context of the rapture and the first resurrection. Very well-known passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will be very sudden. Like a thief in the night, when you least expect it, he will come. People in darkness will not care. They love darkness. But children of the light, please do not sleep. Be watchful. These are all the earlier verses that will prepare us when Paul gave us this verse 17. We are living in very dangerous times, momentous and perilous times. You think it is just a materialistic, carnal experience that FEBC is undergoing right now? The battle is in the spiritual realm. It is not just the survival of FEBC, the building, the institution that is at stake. It is nothing sentimental. Oh, it has been there for 40 over years. Oh, we are attached to it. And so on and so forth. And it must never, never be also for the memory of our dear principal and pastor, Reverend Timothy Tolsek, that you cry to God, God, please preserve this college for his sake. No, that would be wrong. It is always for Christ. This is the school for the training of prophets. Do you know that without this college, if you have someone in your midst who wants to go into full-time ministry to be trained to serve God, you have nowhere to send them to. You send them to America today, you don't even know whether they will come back and be of the same faith as you are. You want to sign and force them to a bond? You support them 3 years? Okay, bond you for what? How long? 10 years? Okay, let's say you bond him for 10 years. And he comes back a modernist and a liberal. You want to bond him for 10 years now? You want to force him to serve in the church teaching modernism and liberalism? You spend $500,000 to train this person, keep him and his family there, and then he comes back a wreck in his faith. Nowhere to go, truly, honestly. And even if there are some that are fundamentalists in nature, but it is not Bible Presbyterian, we are distinct. We are Calvinists and we are premillennial. There are some that may claim to be Calvinists, but they are millennial. And there are those who are Baptists, they are dispensational. Without FEBC as our foundation, as our base. You think Dr. Jeffrey Koo and myself, when we went to Grace Seminary, we will not be confused by their strong dispensational leanings? It was only because of FEBC, the foundation that we received, that's why we were not confused and convinced by them. It is much, much more than just the bricks and the mortars. It is much, much more than sentimentalism. It is a spiritual warfare. If the Lord tarries, you think we are going to be here forever? Think of the little ones. They need godly pastors who will continue to feed them and to teach them to earnestly contend for the faith. But where will they go to be trained to do that without a seminary or a Bible college that honors the Lord? You don't find them. Not at all. You think Dr. Jeffrey Koo got nothing better to do than he had to go to BCA to do the work of the ministry of the Word of God there? The Bible college there needs that kind of encouragement and support. Because the people in Kenya and Tanzania are too poor to come to Singapore to study. They may send only their very best, and then when they return, hopefully they will be godly faculty members to teach their own when they return to Tanzania, to Ethiopia, to Kenya. Because there are thousands of them who are converted, but they do not have pastors who are properly trained to feed them. And without the word of God, they will continue to fall prey to the deception of the charismatic movement, the new evangelical movement, and many, many of the demons and the evil ones. And that's why the college is now under attack. It has nothing to do with bricks and mortars and dollars and cents. It is a spiritual warfare. And that's why all the words of encouragement you can give, please give. But above all, please pray. Pray for what you may ask. Pray that the board of directors will not fail the Lord by lying and cheating. Because if we lie and cheat to win in the court of men, we have lost. We have brought shame to the name of Christ by lying and cheating. We must always be honest and upfront, because the battle is in the spiritual realm, not in the court of man. God knows the outcome. God knows the result already. That's not important for us. It is the journey. Throughout this whole journey, we must not sin against Him. And that's why we must pray. Pray that the Lord will give wisdom to the board of directors, courage and strength and integrity and truth and righteousness, that they will not sin, they will not do anything at any cost just to win in the court of men. We have lost if we do that. Why do you think God tells us in the book of Revelation that all these who have given their lives during the great tribulation, they are called victors. They have the victory over Satan, even though Satan and the Antichrist killed them and took their lives, because they refused to bow down to the image, refused to have the mark of the beast on them. They were called victorious. They never sinned, they never lied. And the only way that we can keep ourselves from sinning is to pray. It's to lean on God and not our own strength. That's why God says, without ceasing, pray. In the Greek, without ceasing is put in front, to emphasize the greater importance. Oh, prayer is important, but without ceasing, because this verse emphasizes not how to pray, but the frequency that we must pray. Without ceasing, pray. That is His call. And because it is so emphatic, because God knows we are reluctant. He did not say, please, I beg you, pray. He said, you must pray. If you don't, you're going to be caught off guard. Because the coming of the Lord is very sudden. That's why by praying all the time, we will always be ready anytime, anywhere. Whenever the Lord says, twinkling of an eye at the last trump, come up, my children. We are all ready because we have been praying. And our lives is always a life of righteousness. We have been praying. And that's why I pray without ceasing. Because commune, it is communion with your Heavenly Father. And do it without sin. Never stop talking to Father in heaven. Keep on talking to Him. That's what it is. Praying means simply talking to your Heavenly Father all the time. All the time. And He says, please don't live your life your way. Nothing is too small that He is not interested in. Nothing is too big that He is unable to help. Every item, every decision you want to make, please pray. In other words, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own wisdom. Lean on Me, God says. Commune with Me and lean on Me. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. And God says to do that, you must bite into this divine sandwich. You know what's a sandwich, right? You have one piece of bread on top, one piece of bread at the bottom, and in between you have the piece of meat, right? And so this is God's divine sandwich. And you must bite into this sandwich. It is no accident that God gave us this sandwich. In order to pray without ceasing, verse 17, you must do something else first, also all the time. Verse 16, that's the top piece of the sandwich. Rejoice evermore. The bottom piece of the sandwich, in everything give thanks. There are only three things in the Bible that we are told to do all the time. And perhaps one of the reasons why we cannot pray without ceasing is because we don't rejoice evermore. And because we don't rejoice evermore, it is very hard for us to pray without ceasing. It is therefore very hard for us to give thanks in all things when we don't pray without ceasing, when we don't rejoice evermore. That's the divine sandwich, and you and I don't bite into it often enough. This is God's sandwich. Rejoice evermore, also in the imperative. Give thanks also in the imperative. All three of them. It's called the divine imperative sandwich that every Christian must eat. How to rejoice evermore, especially when you look at the preceding verses, where Christians will be persecuted, when Christians will be taken advantage of, when Christians will have to suffer loss. We are told, render not evil for evil. We are told to ever follow that which is good. Rejoice evermore. Thank God that you are a Christian. Be happy that you are a Christian. All the time, because this world is not your home. You have Jesus Christ means you have everything. Is that not true? Do you agree with that statement? If you have Jesus Christ, you have everything. Is that not true? Agree? Now, if that is true, and we know it's true for the Christian, if Jesus Christ is everything to me, then they can take away anything and everything from me that is not Jesus Christ, and I will not have lost anything. Right? Because Christ is my everything already. If I have Christ, I have everything. So whatever else that is not Christ, you can take away and I would not have lost anything. You can take away my car. It's okay. I have not lost anything. I have everything in Christ. You can take away my money. You can take away my job. You can take away my health. Take away my freedom. You can even take away my life and I will have not lost anything because Christ is to me everything. That's what it means. So you agree that Christ is to me everything? Then this world cannot be our home. We cannot live according to our five senses because our five senses are not the way to Christ. Our five senses are only toward this body that will keep our body and soul together. And so everywhere you go, you be a witness and a testimony. You don't be carnal. You don't work for money. You work for the glory of Christ. And so when they take advantage of us, when they render evil to us, we don't render evil back. We continue to rejoice in Christ Jesus because if we are punished for Jesus' sake, for the cause of Christ, like the apostles in the book of Acts, we must thank God that He counts us worthy to suffer for His name's sake. That's why we rejoice. Of course, we don't rejoice when we are in sin. We repent when we are in sin because sin brings shame to God, dishonors God. Rejoice evermore is when we are walking the straight and narrow path and people hurts us, harm us for Jesus' sake. They tell all kinds of lies against us. Oh, we get sad at times. Rejoice evermore doesn't mean that you walk around like that, laugh all the time. Right? You don't laugh all the time like that. You go think of another cuckoo case. Rejoice evermore is a deep sense of peace and joy in our hearts. That even in the darkest moment, darkest hour, yes, we feel pain when our loved ones are taken away from us. We feel pain if we are to be persecuted and to be burned at the stake, knowing that we are going to see our earthly loved ones for the last time. It hurts, it's sorrowful. But deep in my heart, there is the joy of the Lord to know that absent from the body, present with the Lord, that my children, my family, they are in the Lord Jesus Christ. That whether I'm around or not around, my Heavenly Father will care for them, will look after them. That's the rejoicing, that's the joy, the peace that we can have. And when we have this, praying without ceasing, it's how we appropriate this. That's how we are able to manage and have all these. We are not talking about rejoice evermore in parties. That anybody can do. We're not talking about rejoice evermore when you're having a fun time frolicking in the beach. Not that kind of rejoice. The rejoice evermore is the context of being persecuted for Christ. And that's why they will force us to pray without ceasing. And because we have been committing everything to Christ, everything to God, in everything give thanks. In everything, truly in everything give thanks. Even the death of loved ones. Even in the face of terminal illness. Whatever it is, my God makes no mistake. When your life is right with God, how we leave this world is immaterial. It's not important, it's irrelevant. Whether I leave this world by being eaten up by a shark, whether I leave this world by a terrible terminal illness, whether I leave this world because a car knocked me down, whatever it is, it does not matter. It simply means my service for my Lord, my God, is over. It's now time for me to go home. How I go home, it's not important. For Simon Peter, he was crucified upside down. It is said that for Isaiah, he was sawn asunder. Abraham died of an old age. Isaac died of an old age. Jacob died of an old age. John the apostle died of an old age. But the rest of the other apostles, they were martyred for the faith. There are some who are burned at the stake. All these are irrelevant. How we leave this world is in our Heavenly Father's hand, and He knows best. And that's why we can give thanks for all things, including persecution for Christ's sake. Because you have been praying without ceasing. And there is this deep sense of joy in your heart that no matter what phase of life that you are going through right now, you will always live a life that is pleasing to God, because you are able to rejoice all the time in your heart. You will not let anything or anyone put you down, stifle your witness, your testimony, and the joy that you have in Christ Jesus, to know that your life is righteous before Him, to know that your life is in His loving hands, that nothing happens to me by chance, but always by His sovereign will, and it will turn out for my good. Even though I may not like it, I may not enjoy it at times, because it is hurtful, it is painful to be abused. But nonetheless, there's this quietness and peace in my heart of deep rejoicing. And then there's a constant, perpetual communion. Because it is written in the middle voice, pray without ceasing. No one can do it for you. You have to do it yourself. Mom and dad, they can pray for you. But this verse is not talking about mom and dad praying for you. This verse is talking about you praying all the time for yourself and for others. That's the thrust here. The frequency of prayer for you, not for others on your behalf, for you to pray for yourself and for others. And once you are able to have the top piece of the sandwich, the middle portion, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me, right? And that's why the life of a Christian is an abundant life. That's why it's so important to pray without ceasing. Because if we don't, we're going to crumble. We're going to fall. We're going to be disheartened. Will you be crushed and be disheartened if the court rules against FEBC and we have to move out? We do not know where we are going. We have nowhere to go, no place to go. But if that is the will of the Lord for us, will you be crushed? Are you so full of confidence that it must end in this manner? And if it is not in this manner, I will not believe in God anymore. I will not pray anymore. Is that what we do to God when we talk to Him, we threaten Him, and we demand what we want? The battle is not in the courts of men. You think that in the courts of men you always find justice? Please think again. Wake up. Wake up. You look at the Lord Jesus Christ, perfect man, perfect teacher, perfect life, perfect in everything. In the court of men, what happened to Him? Crucified. They themselves admitted, I find no fault in Him. He said it. Pilate said it. And yet He was still crucified. You think Paul went to prison because he was guilty of a sin or a particular crime? Again, in the court of men, what happened to him? He lost. God has the best plan for the college. God has the best plan for His children. And if we do not pray, and if we fail to pray throughout this whole process, and when the whole case is over, we pray there will be no second case, there will be no more, and you don't pray, you have missed the boat. There is now this very crucial, necessary, and important battle that you are now involved in. And if you find that you don't pray, you have missed the boat and you will be the loser. Because your walk with the Lord and your closeness to God has been forfeited by your sin, by your disobedience, by your lackadaisical attitude, for whatever reasons. Just as that generation, when they were asked, give to build the tabernacle. Those who hesitated, give, don't give, give, don't give, give, don't give. By the time they change their mind or they want to give, Moses said to them, no need, all enough, all given. There's not going to be two tabernacles, only one. The generation in Solomon's time for the building of the temple, give, give, give. Those who don't give, temple completed, you want to give, no need, you can keep it. Prayer, it's our privilege, it's our honor. In heaven, you don't need to pray. Only praise and only thanksgiving, and no need to pray for petitions, for needs. Right now on earth, because we have problems, we have trials, we have difficulties, that's why we pray. We have battles. We have Satan. We have the evil one constantly trying to trip us and stumble us. That's why we pray. And that's why God says, lean on me. Commune with me all the time. I will be there for you. Always. I want to commune with you. I want to help you. I want to be involved in every phase of your life. No matter how minute it is, I want to be involved. Please don't shut me out. Pray without ceasing. Please. All the time. Regularly. From morning, noon, day and night. Pray. So that you will rejoice evermore. So that in all things, whatever the world may throw at you, you can continue to give thanks. For you know that this is the will of your Heavenly Father in Christ Jesus for your life. And there's nothing anyone, not even Satan, can do that can rob you of this closeness that you can have with God Almighty, whom He says to all of us, call me Abba, Father. Not only at the time when you were born again, but without ceasing. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, teach us to pray. Teach us, O Lord, to have a closeness with Thee, a closer walk with Thee, to know that we can commune with our Heavenly Father, whose ears are always inclined to hear our cry. O Lord, why don't we pray? Help us, therefore, O Lord, to live a holy and a godly life before Thee and before all men, and create in us a thirst for truth and for righteousness, that we may experience what it means to rejoice evermore and to pray without ceasing, and in all things to give thanks to Thee. For Thou art a loving God, a gracious God, a merciful God to all Thy children. Make True Life BP Church a prayerful church, that Thy people will pray without ceasing. For they know that they wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities in high places. And for we are truly in a spiritual warfare and battle. Help us, O Lord, to be sensitive to the leading and guidance of Thy Holy Spirit in our lives, that we may not fall into sin and stray from the straight and narrow path, but that every member and visitor in this church, especially the leaders, may be prayerful, that wherever Thou wilt send us forth, from the youngest to the oldest, we will pray without ceasing. For we ask all these things with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.